Hello and welcome to The Whole Health Cure, a space for trustworthy, science-based information on how you can live healthier, longer, and happier. I'm your host, Dr. Sharon Berquist, a physician and scientist specializing in lifestyle-based disease prevention and management and applied well-being. The focus of today's discussion is on the link between whole foods, mental clarity, emotional well-being, as well as physical well-being. I'm joined by Sam Cutler, who's a Harvard-trained nutrition health coach and the founder of Mindful, a wellness brand dedicated to empowering individuals to take control of their health through sustainable, evidence-based practices. With a deep understanding of the intricate connection between nutrition, mental well-being, and physical health, Sam advocates for a holistic approach to wellness that goes beyond the scale. Her expertise has transformed the lives of countless people, helping them achieve lasting health and vitality. Sam is a sought-after speaker and thought leader, known for her compassionate and practical guidance on navigating the often confusing world of modern wellness. Sam, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Sharon, so much for having me. What a nice intro. I'm really excited to be here, and with such a leader in this space as well as yourself, this is really exciting for me on my side as well.
Oh, I appreciate that, and I'm excited for our conversation. You know, Sam, there's so many people that struggle with anxiety, depression, low self-esteem, fatigue, digestive problems, skin problems, I mean, a whole host of conditions, and they're looking to solve their problems and feel better, but they don't know exactly how to get from here to there, and you've done that very successfully. Can you take us back to how you felt 10 years ago, a little bit about your journey?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what makes things a little bit different from my perspective is I've lived through the feeling of crap that so many people who I speak with, so many of our members on Mindful, so many of the women within my community feel. And so I resonate so closely to it, and I connect to not wanting to feel that way and just really not knowing where to go, where to look for information and where to find guidance and community, because it's really isolating. And so, as you said, 10 years ago and over a course of many years, I went through a period of extreme chronic inflammation and really had almost every area of my body, mind, every area of my life, productivity really impacted by the lifestyle choices that I was making, which I didn't really realize at the time. And I grew up in a period of exposure to extreme diet culture and a desire to really be thin without an understanding of health. And I think we still see that at the forefront of women's health. And so I went through understanding, okay, it actually doesn't matter what number is on a scale when I step on it. I need to understand what I'm feeding myself, what are the habits that I'm doing, and what's going on. And so I was really suffering from chronic inflammation, severe adult acne, which if anyone listening suffers from any type of skin issue, it is very crippling and really impactful on your confidence and the way you put yourself forward in business and family and relationships and social situations. I was suffering from a lot of mental health conditions, anxiety, depression, all of this stemming from really just a misunderstanding of how to care for my body in a really holistic way and understand that the foods I'm eating, the habits that I'm doing day to day are severely impacting my gut and severely impacting the way that I'm living. And then there's this piece of stress, which is this giant, monstrous peace around us that we have to balance, because a lot of the stress in our lives we can't take away. So it is also, how do we set boundaries and barriers to support ourselves so that our health is not so severely impacted? I think nutrition plays a big piece of that. Our lifestyle habits play a big piece of that. And then, like I said, those boundaries that we can set and ways that we can support ourselves. So I know what it feels like to feel like crap. And we just have too many women feeling like this worldwide. This is not an American issue or North American issue. This is a worldwide issue. And I've seen it because we have women in over 30 countries on our platform, and they all come to us with the same issues. And so my mission is truly just educating women, but also bringing them together so they feel less alone, so they feel empowered to make those choices. And instead of isolated for their decisions and shamed for choosing something that is a whole food or going to bed early instead of going out, whatever their choices are, we should all be empowered to really lean into those. And so I think having that community is what changed my life for me, and then bringing that to other people.
Mm-hmm. And Sam, there's so many things you touched on that I want to circle back to. I mean, I think first and foremost, what you said about the scale not being the most important thing, I think a lot of people, women in particular, tie so much of health and a lot of other issues around weight and feeling good and being of normal weight are not exactly overlapping. There's some commonality, but they're not overlapping. And I'd love to hear you talk more about that. And then I also want to circle back to a little bit more about your path, because I think that in retrospect, you know, you can look back and realize and connect the dots between the lifestyle and how you feel. But I'm sure in the moment, which is where a lot of people are, finding where to get the guidance, finding good resources, and just knowing how to get started is such a battle. So, you know, let's start with that and then lead our way to, you know, the difference between the scale and the feeling good.
Absolutely. I really didn't know where to look because it was still the beginning of social media and the beginning of understanding I have all this access to information, and which can be good and bad, as we know, because there's a lot of misinformation and there's a lack of understanding who to trust right now on social media and just me, like in general. But there is still a lot of benefit, like this podcast, like these beautiful resources that do bring to light a lot of science-backed, community-based connections and a place to really turn to. And so for me, I didn't know what to do. I just knew that I didn't feel good. And I was consistently on this yo-yo cycle. And I think a lot of women experience that of, I'll go on a diet, and this does tie into your second question as well, and I'll feel a little bit better temporarily, but it's not sustainable. And it didn't really address the core issue. We have a national issue, but probably a global issue of really diving into what the core issue is. And that's not just in health. That's, I think, in a lot of places. But what is really the root cause of something? What's happening there? I think that I was consistently, especially when I talk about acne or stomach, you know, pain and severe inflammation, I was thinking, okay, I address this issue with, you know, a diet. I'll address this issue with topical creams and just slathering on things. And even though it's cystic, like, let's not look at the issue. And really just a lack of understanding of the holistic idea. So for me, my path started with studying health coaching because I didn't really see the bridge of, you know, I'd go to a doctor and they'd say, nothing's wrong with you, right? Because in the way of going to see my GP, they're like, I'm doing tests and, you know, you look healthy. I think I was like 23 or so in the beginning of just really getting really desperate in this space and in this mindset, I would say. And I looked healthy on paper. And a lot of us do because our normal, falling under a normal range, like we said, of weight or these different metrics that we look at doesn't necessarily determine the other metrics of health that we need to look at. Well, is it normal that I wake up and I feel like crap every single day? That I wake up with zero energy? That I have severe pain after I'm eating? Like, do we classify that as normal within North America in 2024 globally? So that's the bigger question. And for me, it was looking introspectively at, do I think this is normal? Am I okay with this being the way that I feel every day? And the answer for me was no, but not knowing what to do. So I started my health coaching training. And that to me was the moment where I actually saw the bridge between stress and our gut and the mind-body-gut connection. And that full circle was really an aha moment. I remember, like, so early on with really no background to health besides understanding diet culture and just feeling like crap, really having such an aha moment about, okay, this gut is our operating system of our body. So now there must be something going on with my gut. What are things that I can start to implement in my life through my learnings? Not trying to take other clients necessarily. I just wanted to understand what was going on in my body. And I didn't feel like there was anywhere to kind of learn that. And I remember learning about probiotics and our gut microbiome and our good bacteria and our bad bacteria, like just the basic stuff, and truly having an aha moment. Hold on, they haven't tested me for this when I'm going to the doctor, right? I'm getting on a scale. They're checking my heart rate and basic things to make sure that my levels of X, Y, and Z are okay. But have I done a stool test? Have I understood what's going on in my gut? Have I even just explored with different food how they make me feel in a mindful and present way so that I can check back on what's going on with my body? Because one thing that I think is, and I had to learn through that process, and I try to communicate through any of my teachings and any of the communities that I lead, is what works for someone doesn't necessarily work for someone else. And even when we go and look at science, we're looking at a group of people, and we have enough of an understanding of what's happening to come to a conclusion to say, okay, this is what happens from this study, this group, really we see an impact of X, whatever that factor is, right? The variable that you're using. But that doesn't mean that you're not the exception. That doesn't mean that that food might not agree with you. That doesn't mean that some habit might not work for you because of your genetics, because of your lifestyle factors, because of the choices you make. So once we open our horizon and our mind to the fact that we are these unique, beautiful ecosystems inside of us that have so many different factors, we can take the science side, or this is what I was trying to do, is starting to learn health coaching and then doing the program I did with Harvard Medical School. It's, can I take the science information and tie that together with the lifestyle factors and be mindful of those and the way that they're impacting my life? So, oh, I am working 80-hour work weeks. Does that have an impact on my health and my stress and my sleep habits and my eating routine? And then understanding, okay, now I'm starting to learn these are the factors that I can play with and the levers I can pull in my own individual health to get more or less of certain results. And so I really do think it's this Venn diagram where we need to tie science with the learnings that we learn about ourselves. You need to look at yourself as almost like a test every single day. What do I learn? And instead of feeling guilty that something makes you feel bad, or you eat something that doesn't feel good, or you stay up too late, or you drink too much alcohol, even just on a basic, like we can all understand what it's like when we drink too much and then we feel like crap the next day, just on that basic level, instead of saying, oh God, I did that, can you say, okay, so how many drinks was that? Okay, did I eat a lot before or did I not? Was I hydrated? Was I well slept? Was I under a lot of stress? Can you identify some of those factors so you can start bringing a little bit more research into how you've reacted to those substances or food or habits, lifestyle factors, so that you have more data literally on yourself, like your own research? And that's, I think, the beautiful thing that we can start to do and that I started to do to understand, okay, I know these are my levers. I know this is what I can go through to really change the way that I feel.
And Sam, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think studies are wonderful for getting an average for a population just to kind of pick up a signal, get some guidance on some strategies. But of course, every person is unique, and learning what works for a person is definitely a very good thing for every person to go through, since there's rarely an absolute right or wrong, you know, diet, et cetera. There are just certain principles that perhaps are probably better borne out in the medical literature. So you did the health coaching. And for a lot of people who are in the position you were in 10 years ago, who are frustrated, not feeling well, you know, if they aren't taking it upon themselves to do coaching and a lot of training in the area, can you talk about what didn't work for you, where you didn't get traction, and how you finally got traction to start feeling better?
The one thing I will say is it took me a lot of trial and error and a long time. And I get that question often, how long did it take you to start feeling good or to get to a certain point? I hate the question of how long did it take you to get to a certain point, because I don't think we ever do, especially as these complex beings, our hormones are forever changing. And just when we think something stabilizes, it doesn't in our lifestyle. But to actually start feeling good, I really do think it was a long haul for me, because I was testing so many different things. So it was, okay, I understand now the impacts of stress. That was like probably the first piece that I really had an aha moment around. And I started to say, oh, but stress impacts my gut. Okay, let's dive a little bit more into that. Let's start to understand how that might be impacting my hormones and my skin. But it is testing. And like, if you have, I think what was a really big realization for me is that if your gut is in such a place that it really does need to spend a lot of time healing, it's not happening overnight, right? And if we think about right now in mainstream media, we see so many things for quick fix to this, and not even just in health, but do this and you'll get rich, you know, in the next month or whatever that quick fix is. And unfortunately, that's not the reality when we start to live in flow with our bodies. It really is all a learning and a layering effort. So I think some of the stuff when we talk about what worked and didn't work, for me, I really leaned into taking out a lot of, or lowering the consumption of a lot of processed foods. And that was also a second huge aha moment for me of understanding, oh, this package says low calorie, low sugar, but what's in the ingredients? What am I actually consuming? And so that was sort of the second layer to the stress piece, where I started to peel back what's in the labels of my food and actually going to the grocery store for my own education and looking at things, looking at some of the stuff maybe you buy, maybe you don't buy. There's two packages that look identical next to each other. What's the difference between the two? Why pick one over the other? Does one have 20 ingredients and the other one has 5? Like, how can we understand? Can we pronounce them, right? That's like one of the basic things. If you don't know what it is, do you want to be putting it in your body? When I started to understand a little bit more about food, I think that also really propelled my healing forward, because food really has been at the core of it. It is one of the things that we do have the most control and say over what we put in our bodies. Like I said, a lot of the stress in our life, we don't get to just cut out. We do need to, I don't know, work our jobs, and maybe we can change what those look like, but we do have our families and a lot of these things that are demands. Well, maybe not even necessarily stresses, but demands on us that create more stress. So nutrition was one of the pieces that when I understood a little bit more about whole foods, it did start to really, really propel every other area. So like we said about that gut-brain connection, when you're healing the inflammation in your gut and you're pairing it with lowering your stress and being really mindful about the choices around you, you're going to see even more success. Or when you're trying to clear your skin, maybe you are taking something topical. But if, again, you can eat whole foods, or you can get to know some of the ingredients that are more likely to cause acne or inflammation or irritation or hormonal imbalance, and learning more about those ingredients and, again, what they are for you, so that you say, every time I eat this, I have pain after, or every time I eat this, I'm breaking out a day or two later. And so that, to me, I think is like, we try to bring this with mindful, because I think it's really hard for women to say, oh God, I just don't want, like, it's going to take me 10 years to start to feel good. That's not the reality. For me, I had to figure it out and learn so much about this. And now we have so much more information and access and community, but in the long run, it is your lifestyle that you're choosing. So I really do think that what's important is choosing a lifestyle that is sustainable for you. So if you're trying to say, I'm going to cut something out completely and I'm not going to have this, or I'm going to go on this really strict calorie deficit diet for a temporary period of time, and that makes you feel good temporarily, and you want to feel that way for the rest of your life, but you're only doing it temporarily, and then you're going back to an eating habit that wasn't working for you, you cannot expect to feel that way for the rest of your life. And I think that we're in this, like, that is a big aha moment. That was a big aha moment for me. And I see that every single day with our community and our clients on Mindful. You have to find something that works for you long term and layer on top of that, right? Like, okay, I've got this. It's kind of like you're at the gym. We were talking about physical well-being as well. You don't walk in and grab the 50-pound weights. Maybe you have no foundation, but you walk in and you grab the 3s. And then after a couple weeks, maybe a month, whatever, those 3s feel really easy. Now you're reaching for a 5. Now you're building the muscle. And it's the same when we're talking about the foods and the understanding of wellness, because if you have no understanding of wellness, my biggest tip would say, just start looking at your labels. Just start looking at the things that you're consuming. Are you even aware? Not change it. Don't put pressure on yourself. Don't go on a crazy, you know, restrictive diet. Stop getting on the scale. Just start being aware. That would be step one. Just look around you. Maybe go for a walk if you have zero type of movement in your life. There are really easy ways. And when that feels good, then start adding to it. Because when we dive into something thinking it's going to fix everything and we go all or nothing mindset, we crash and burn really, really quickly.
And Sam, what are some strategies that you coach people on specifically? So certainly whole foods, but can you talk more about things that they should be trying? Because, you know, half the battle is trying to figure out, well, what's a good test and what do we know is not going to make me feel good?
Yeah. So we're really big on like anti-inflammatory foods and cutting out a lot of the stuff that is really inflammatory or limiting it, not necessarily cutting it out. If you think, again, it's not something that you won't be cutting out for the rest of your life, but can you limit it? And so we really lean into that as well. So things like processed sugar, dairy, things that are, you also have to understand, again, the combination of what is irritating to you. For me, I'm gluten intolerant. So is it every time you're having gluten, is that something that is really sensitive to you? Can you understand processed foods and the science behind the inflammation of different ingredients and how that's reacting and what is working for you or not working for you? So that's one of the number one things I would say, is start looking at the food you're eating, like I just said. The other piece that we really lean into, and this has been a game changer for me, is dropping the calculating, calorie counting, gram measurement. If you are not feeling well and you're not feeling good day to day, that is not your answer right now. If you're trying to be a professional athlete or a bodybuilder and you are calculating your grams of protein for a specific desired result, that is a different story. The average American, North American, the average woman globally is not in that place. They're just trying to feel good. So can we stop counting our calories consistently? Can we stop trying to figure out the grams? Can we stop trying to figure out the macros all the time? And instead just look at our plate. What is on your plate? Do you have healthy fats, protein, fiber, greens? Does it look like a complete meal that's nourishing? And what is that? And what are different signs? Another thing we really lean into is, what are different signs that your body is telling you that you need more of something else? And there is a reason why our body craves different things. And your body will start to crave ingredients that give you back. I eat so much salmon. And when my body is like lower in protein, or I haven't had enough for the past couple of days, or maybe I've just been lifting heavier at the gym or whatever that looks like, I'm always craving a salmon. Because to me, that shines forward as healthy fats and protein. And I know that's what my body needs. It's really, really crazy, the thing that our bodies tell us. We did not previously, hundreds of years ago, have some type of measured calculation. We went, okay, this is what I need right now for survival mode. Not that we should be in survival mode, but this is what my body's telling me I need. And I think we spend so much time just really quieting what our body's telling us instead of really leaning into it. Another thing I think is just really spending time to actually save time is a really big game changer, because a lot of people feel like they don't have the time to invest in whole foods, in cooking every night, in preparing meals, in scheduling out gym times or meditation times or whatever those lifestyle factors and resources are that really support their health. But the reality is, if we can spend time in shorter increments to alleviate time long term. So whether that is meal prep or ingredient prep, I love ingredient prep. Like if your rice takes you 40 minutes at dinner time because you're making a bowl, cook that once a week, make a bunch and have it ready. And now your dinner takes 10 minutes, maybe five, putting in the ingredients, something's in the air fryer, you're done, you're ready. How can you do those hacks so that it's happening once a week, that you're spending the time to then save time and also to reduce stress, to reduce decision fatigue around food? If you have those healthy choices, whether that's for you or your kids or your family, in your fridge, in your cupboard, you have something to turn to, and you're not consistently trying to figure out, what is it? What am I going to eat? How do I feed myself? And then one other thing, which is kind of where our name comes from, which is Mindful, our platform, it's Mindful with two L's, because I think it's so powerful. We always say filling up your stomach, cup, and soul. But I think it's so powerful if we pay attention to how full something makes us feel. And I don't think that just ends with food. I think it ties into all lifestyle areas. So how rewarding does something feel? How much does it fill up your cup? And when we talk about filling up your stomach, we also coach our women on something called the fullness scale. So understanding where you fall as you're eating, instead of looking at things like specific calories or macros, can you just get to know, I actually feel full. I don't need to clean my entire plate. Or I ate all this and I'm still hungry. Well, it was really, you know, a lot more forward in greens and I didn't have a ton of protein. Maybe I should try increasing my protein intake to stay fuller longer. And can you kind of do that exercise throughout the day? I'm happy to take you through what that actually is, but we have it on our platform as well. And we really work with women through that. And that is like an aha moment for so many people. They get to stop measuring, pouring, calculating and say, oh, it's really just about how food makes me feel, how full I feel, how long it keeps me feeling full and energized.
And seeing so much of consistency and sticking with something long-term is mindset. From where you were 10 years ago to where you are now, can you speak about just the mindset shift that you made along the way so that this is so much a part of your life?
Some of it's mindset and some of it's a little bit of just forcing it at the beginning to create a habit. Because sometimes it's really nice to say, oh, I feel really motivated. I feel great. And these are things that make me feel confident and motivated. But I would say for someone starting out, scheduling something in so that you create a habit is so powerful as well. So that you say, okay, this is happening at this time, or I have, I don't know if you use like a workout app or you go to classes. Classes is like the most accountable thing if you're doing a workout, because if you miss it, they usually charge you. So you're going to get your butt to class. Or if you have, you know, you have it scheduled to actually go do your groceries at a certain time, and maybe you need a buddy or you need somebody to hold you accountable. I think that's really, really powerful in creating the mindset and creating the habit and actually moving forward with it. And after so many reps, so much time, you really do just start to do it. Like I know on Sundays, I do my groceries around 2. It's kind of scheduled in, but it's now it's just what I do. It's a habit. Come back, I prep my meals, I prep different ingredients. And so once you kind of build this into your lifestyle, you can work the lifestyle, the other factors around it as well. So making the things that are the most likely to not happen, the non-negotiable scheduled in things, because we all know we're going to work. Right? We all know we're going to go on Netflix if we want. Like, we don't need to schedule that stuff in. What we need to schedule in is the things that we're most likely to push aside. And that really does create habit. I think also doing what you say you're going to do creates so much confidence. When you say, I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow morning and you show up, every single time you do that, you build more and more confidence and trust in yourself. I'm a huge fan of Brené Brown, and she always talks about the trust marbles in a jar. And it is like this jar. And every time you say you're going to do something, you add a trust marble in and you start to build that foundation with yourself. And you have to think about yourself as the person you're trusting here. So every time you're really going to make those choices, you build that. And it's the same thing when you say you're going to do it and you don't do it, you take away those trust marbles and you take away your confidence in yourself. So again, it's not the easiest thing, but what are the things you can do to schedule, to maybe find community? Community is so huge for me and a lot of our women, other accountable people that are around you, because so many of us have families that eat differently than us, or that have different lifestyle factors or habits that don't understand why you're saying, oh, I don't eat gluten because it really makes me sick. They're going, oh gosh, just have it this one time. And you're going, no, you don't understand. Like, I will be sick, then I will break out, then I will have inflammation, then it'll affect my mental health. Like, there is a cycle for me that I will go on. So it's not just about having it that one time. It's about me knowing my body. But hey, bring on the gluten-free baguettes and pastas and all those things, right? So I think there's also a misunderstanding about sometimes where that like flexibility lies. But yeah, I think those are really powerful tools to really build confidence and keep showing up and keep doing it. And like I said, community. The people you surround yourself really do impact your choices, and feeling like other women feel the same way is really powerful. Just getting vulnerable and actually talking about it. And I have a large social community, and that happened by me being vulnerable, having nowhere else to go to talk about it, that a lot of the women in my life either had it figured out or really didn't want to address it. And then I built this community of social media saying, I felt like crap, or I'm breaking out from this, or this is what's going on for me. And people reaching out either saying, I have a suggestion, or this might help, or hey, I don't feel great either. And I feel less alone just hearing that you do it, or I feel less alone seeing that every morning you post your breakfast or your matcha chia bowl, whatever. When I get up and I'm doing it too, I feel like I'm part of a community and I have a sense of belonging. We saw that in the pandemic. That is what we want. We need people. We need community. We need a sense of belonging to really feel satisfied as full humans. Like, we need connection. And so if that's going to be a big chunk of your life, this wellness piece, and you feel isolated in it, it becomes a part you may start to resent. And so I really do think community and feeling, whether that's like at your gym or on Mindful and talking about different nutrition and stuff like that, your hormones, whatever it is, I really do think it's so powerful. So those are the things that I feel like really built confidence and consistency. And like, you start to feel really good. You don't want to not feel good. So when you start seeing results, whether that's emotional, physical, I really lean into these like emotional results of, oh my gosh, I feel so much more energized, or I feel so much happier or excited about my day. I feel spicy and ready to go to the gym. And, you know, it's a fun thing for me now. It really does just create more of a habit loop. And wherever you're at, you can find layers of that.
Mm-hmm. That's such great advice. Well, Sam, where can people learn about you and find more information?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find Mindful on all app stores. It's Mindful with two L's. And our website is mindful.so. You can also find our social media, which is mindful.so. We drop a lot of different tips and tools for getting started, maybe different benefits of different ingredients. We love to lean into that as well. And also just community stories, because again, it's all about feeling connected. And then on my personal pages, I go by the Fit Fatale, which is a little play on the Femme Fatale. I'm originally from Montreal, so I have that French background. And it's just about being your most confident, authentic, badass self through health and wellness. So that's kind of where my community cultivated, because again, like we said, it's back to confidence and connecting with community and showing up. So hopefully some of that content on there can inspire other people to do that as well.
Wonderful. Well, Sam, thank you for all the work that you do and for sharing all this information. Thanks for being a guest.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. This was really nice, and I'm excited to continue chatting together in a couple weeks.
Likewise. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode and share it with a friend. Until next time, do something to help improve your whole health naturally.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent.